The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Lord,
on that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shoreline. Jesus spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord. We know from using our minds and our reason that we can posit the existence of God. Reason can bring us to the existence of this by looking at the world around us, by looking at the nature of things, and we can come to reason to the fact that there is a God. But God wants more than that for us. He wants to come to us more than in our reason. He wants to come to us in our heart. And the way that God chooses to do that is to speak to us. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speaks to us every day. If we walk out of here today and think you didn't hear the voice of God, you need to clean your ears out. Big time. Because you've just heard it. You heard already the book of the prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaking through Isaiah. You heard St. Paul, the Lord speaking through St. Paul. And we've just heard the gospel in which Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, speaks to us. And so it's clear that God is speaking to his people. But the Lord adds something at the end of the gospel that we need to keep in mind. Whoever has ears to hear needs to hear. That God's speaking, but the question is, who's listening? Who's listening? And when we look at the whole history of salvation, God has chosen to speak to his people in very different ways. We see in the book of Genesis, when God created things, he just spoke. He said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. Let there be creepy, crawly things on the earth. Boom, there were creepy, crawly things. Not a bad way to create things. Didn't need to go to Home Depot or anything. Just spoke and boom, there it was. And we see later on in Scripture, God continues to speak. The people of Israel weren't listening real well to God. They got distracted by the stuff of the world pretty quickly. And so God sent the prophets like Isaiah. And Isaiah tells us something very important about how God speaks. His word comes down like rain. And whenever the rain hits, it's going to bring about some kind of an effect. In other words, God's word never shows a loss, it always shows a gain. If we want to invest in something in which we will find ultimate gain, which is heaven, we need to invest in the word of God. He always shows a profit. We don't have to look every day at the stock market to see how God's doing. He's always registering good. No one sells God. We always need to keep buying. We don't often think of it that way. But it's truth. God has invested heavily in us because not only has he spoken in creation and not only has he spoken through the kings of Israel and through the prophets, he has spoken most clearly in his Son Jesus Christ. That the one who is the Word incarnate speaks God's Word himself. The Word is God's Word. It's an amazing thing what God has done. He has invested so much that the rain that has come down from heaven, we know, has now been born of the Virgin Mary. And he has come to do the will of the Father. And the words that Jesus speaks are very important words. They're very precious words. Jesus doesn't have to take any of his words back. The ironic thing is that because we are created in God's image and likeness, we are also a people who use words. And our words are to be creative and to be life-giving and to be dynamic, bring things about. That's what our words are supposed to be. But as we look at most of many times, our words aren't so good. We know words can heal, but words can also wound. The Italians have a saying. He says, the word, speaking a word is like shooting an arrow. Once it's shot, you can't get it back. And so make sure you take good aim at what you're shooting at. In other words, learn how to use your words carefully. Don't say things that you shouldn't have said. Don't say things that divide. Don't say things out of a lack of charity or selfishness or pride. Because that's not God's word. That's our human words. And we find that those can do much more damage. And we've all experienced them on both sides. We've been on the receiving end of those words, and we've been on the giving end of those words. And both of those times have been hurtful to us. They've also not just been hurtful to us, because every time we sin, every time we speak a word against God's word, which is sin, we also hurt the church. And so when the Lord comes today to talk about the parable of the sower and the seed, he's talking about how are we using our words to build up the church, to build up each other, and to praise God. Are we doing it? And he gives four examples of how either we're doing it or not doing it. And the first example is the one where the word comes down, the seed comes and hits hard ground. You know, just rock hard ground. And it bounces off. And we all know people who think that way. Those are the kind of people, I can sum them up in three words. Complain, complain, complain. You give them $200, boy, I should have, could have used $300. You know, you got the temperature set on 68, I'd like it on 67. You know, we have mass at 10:30, I just as soon have it at 10:25. They're cantankerous just to be cantankerous. We all know people like that. I doubt anybody here is like that, but we all know people like that. Yeah, so-and-so is like that, huh? Well, we're always clear to see it in other people, but do we see it in ourselves? That's the issue. Has the Word of God worked in us? Because the Word of God would help us be grateful for what's going on. The Word of God gives us hope when we face difficulties. Yeah, it's a mess, but it's going to get better. Or, yeah, this is a situation, but I still have the ability to work through it and to come through it okay with God's help. But see, the one where the word just comes and bounces off, there's nothing like that. Complain, complain, complain. Never happy. They live to be miserable. Then we have another group of people. He says, the seed actually comes down and gets into the soil, but the soil is awful rocky and there's no way for the roots to spread out and to really take a good hold in the soil so it can get the nutrients it needs and to be firmly rooted there. And we all know people like that too. You know, the Word of God's gotten in. They've heard the Word. But the problem is, they know what the Word needs to say before it's even been spoken. Big mistake. In other words, I'm interpreting it only in my way. We all know people like that, you know. It's a great idea as long as I come up with it, but if so-and-so comes up with it, not a great idea. Or if someone comes up with a thing and the whole parish is going to do it or the whole family's going to do it, but someone feels like they weren't consulted in it, we asked 600 people opinion, but we forgot to ask number 601. Guess what? Oh, I'm against it. Any particular reason why? I wasn't asked about it. Those are the rocks that keep the word from growing. It's our own selfishness and our own pride and all those things that we often do. And again, I'm sure you're thinking, yeah, we know all the people who do it. It's not us, but we know them. We know people who do that. We can think of it that way. The word is not able to really shape us because we're too busy shaping the word. The only problem is the only way we'll get to heaven is for God to shape us. The only way God shapes us is by his word and the sacrament. So if we're busy trying to shape everything, that's not going to get us to heaven. that's going to send us someplace where we need to dress light. Not a good place to go. There's no fans and there's no ice waters and there's no air conditioning if we think we can tell God how to live his life, which is often how that works. The rocks are keeping that from happening. And then we have another group, and we all know these people well. The Word of God is able to sprout up and bring about great things, but the problem is we didn't think it all through. We expected limits to this. Well, geez, I didn't expect God to ask me to do this, or I didn't expect that. The word's taking effect in you, but all of a sudden the thorns and the stuff above is choking it from growing. There's no way, no place for it to go. And that often happens with us. Sometimes the first sign of trouble, we retreat. We head the other way. We change our tune. The enthusiasm wears off. You know, it's funny. I've seen oftentimes young people go on retreats in high school, and for the first 2 days back, it's Jesus is great, Jesus is wonderful, I love Jesus. A week later, it's who is Jesus again? What happened here, folks? It grew up, and in the process, they get back to their old routines. Maybe their bad habits are just listening to the goofy culture which we're living in which you don't hear anything about Christ or the goodness of truth or the goodness of real love. You just hear all the crap, and we wonder why. It can't get through the thorn. But the Lord says, even in the midst of all that, even in the midst of the people who don't seem to find anything positive, or the people who are doing things their own way, or the people who run at the first sign of trouble, the Word of God still gets through. Because remember I said, God always shows a prophet. And even if those others haven't quite made it yet, the Lord is still going to keep sending his word down every day like rain. God never quits talking to us. Even the worst sinner, God keeps talking to you. He's going to try to get it through our thick heads and our thick hearts that his is the way to do it, that his path is the true path. And for us to put forward a little effort to turn over that soil in our soul a little bit, and we turn that soil, we till it up for the word to take effect by how? By praying every day, by thanking God for the things that he has given us, for asking for his help, because we know we can do nothing without his help. Nothing good, anyway. Do plenty of bad, but we can't do anything good without his help. So between asking for help and thanking him, receiving the sacraments that we have, the sacrament of penance, especially the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, it continues to loosen up that soil, and then living a virtuous life of recognizing the necessity of sacrifice and self-denial, recognizing the importance of being generous towards others and patience towards others. In the midst of all of that, the soil continues to be tilled and the roots spread and the word grows. And as it grows in our own hearts, pretty soon you'll see grown in your own parish, and pretty soon in your own city, and pretty soon in the whole church and in the whole world. Because when we look at it, what gives the world life? It's the Word, and the Word is Jesus Christ. And he holds that world in the palm of his hand, and he continues to speak his words of love to them, the words of mercy, of reconciliation. Because for us to grow, we're going to have to look at all the times we shot out our words and we didn't shoot at the best target. So we can sometimes take those words back. And we have to. We have to ask for forgiveness. And we have to be willing to grant that forgiveness for those words to take root. So the Lord has now spoken to our ears. He has given us his word in sacred scripture, so it can sink into our minds, into our hearts, that this power of God's word is going to really produce great benefits for God and also for us. But now we see that the word is not just that which is spoken. The word is going to be something that we're going to eat and drink. We receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the word incarnate. So he doesn't just come into our ears and into our hearts. He's going to come into our very bodies to do what? To let that word rest in us so that we can find energy from that word. We can find strength from that word. We can find courage in that word. And all those things we need, strength and courage and love and forgiveness, all those things will continue to help the word grow. We hear a lot of words today. Politicians are known for speaking a lot of words. What meaning do they have? But the real question is, God is still speaking his word. He speaks it in scripture. He speaks it through his church and his teachers. He speaks it in his sacraments. Are we listening? And if we spend more time listening to God's word, it's going to be clear where the truth is coming, where the words of God are there, and where our silly human words are that often try to divide or to tear apart or to promote hatred. We can see that those are false words, and those are words that shouldn't come upon our lips. So as we take the word of God on our lips in the Holy Eucharist, may it help us to speak Christ's word. Because just as he spoke through the prophets, and as he spoke himself on this earth, now through the Holy Spirit, he says, you need to speak my words. You need to help bring life. You need to help bring healing. And in doing that, we're going to bring the one thing that holds it all together. Because we're going to be speaking Jesus Christ.